Hello and welcome to Yoga with Subhash. I'm delighted to bring to you an audio recording of the presentation that I made recently at the Women in Technology Conference held at IBM on June 4th, 2015. The topic of discussion is Yoga for Stress Management. I hope you enjoy it, and I would love to get your feedback. And now here's the presentation. Okay, so if everyone is okay, can you just stop eating for a few moments? Just a few moments. We're going to try and sit up straight, close the eyes. Straight, implying that we're trying to keep the spine upright, but not tensed up or strained, relaxed, eyes closed. If it's comfortable, keep the feet flat on the ground. Try to keep the feet and the knees hip distance apart. Allow the hands to rest on your knees or thighs, very loose and relaxed. Just make sure you're feeling comfortable, relaxed. Try to become aware of the contact between the feet and the ground, and maybe the gentle heaviness of the feet on the ground. Try to become aware of the contact between the hands and your knees or thighs where they're resting, and the gentle weight of the hands on your body. Just becoming aware of the contact between the body and the seat of the chair, and also the heaviness of the body on the chair. Try to become aware of the contact between the clothes and the skin, and maybe even the subtle weight of the clothes on the skin. And finally, becoming aware of the contact between the surrounding air and the skin. It's a very subtle touch, feeling the contact. Let every part of the body relax. Shoulders are hanging very loose, very relaxed. Neck muscles are relaxed. Facial muscles feel very soft. And bring your awareness to your breath now and begin to watch your breath. So we are simply observing the flow of breath at the tip of the nose as you breathe in, as you breathe out, without making any effort to modify the natural flow of breath. It's simply the awareness of the breath that helps us stay in the present moment. We call that the moment of now. And recognizing that the present moment is the only moment in which we can attain any kind of peace or tranquility of the mind. Connecting with the breath helps us stay in the present moment. Just a few more breaths. Keep on observing the flow. As you inhale, feel that gentle cooling of the nostrils. The incoming breath seems to cool the nostrils. Outgoing breath might feel slightly warm to the nostrils. Just becoming aware of the flow, the quality of breath, how it feels. And now we're going to very softly open the eyes. And I thank you all very much for letting me have this opportunity. I thank Anna for inviting me, first of all, giving me this great opportunity to share whatever I know about yoga and how it might help. No promises. And I was actually surprised to receive her call and an email and then a subsequent call, because she only attended a couple of my classes. And I was never even introduced to her. You know. So when she said, you know, she would like me to come and make a presentation, I was kind of surprised. Why would she pick me? And then she said it's a women's conference. And she also mentioned that most of the presenters are women. So Anna, thank you for giving me this very special honor of being one of the, maybe one of the very few male presenters here. And then she said that she wants me to talk about stress. I said, why? She says, IBM gives a lot of stress to the employees. And then she added, it gives more stress to the women employees. And even more so to the women who are involved in technology. So she said, okay, come and talk about stress. I said, but why pick me? She said, whatever you said in the class, I really liked. So first of all, Anna, you have to remind me what I said, because I don't recall what I said. We create the stress in our mind. Okay. That's about. Okay. Well, I heard somebody mention here on this desk that we are experts at creating stress. Somebody said that here?
I think I did.
Oh, you did that. Because I was just trying to put some, you know, put my microphone in, and I heard somebody say, oh, we are experts at creating stress. Okay. So what is stress? Let's start with that. What is stress, first of all? Can somebody volunteer to tell me what stress is? Yes.
No, stress is when you have more things to do than you can do.
Okay.
And less time to do it than you have time to do it, and yet you still try to do it, and sometimes you succeed.
Good. So basically, what you're saying is stress is the inability to handle what you are presented with. That's what causes stress?
Yes, and you try to do it.
And you try to do it. Any other example of stress or what causes stress? Anybody else? Yes?
Work-life balance.
Work-life balance, yeah. So there's always imbalance in work-life. Things that we cannot control and we worry about them. That's a beautiful example. But the...
I was going to say desired state versus real state. You want to be in this mindset
okay.
Or you're in that mindset.
Okay, so desired versus the actual real estate, real state. Now, I think we should all, first of all, start recognizing that stress is something that happens in the mind, first of all. Its origin is in the mind. Is that a fair assessment? Origin of the stress is in the mind. It can have physical manifestation. Many of my students who come to my classes, they say, oh, my stress caused me neck pain or my shoulder pain. Some people say my hips are tight because of stress, things like that. But that's a physical manifestation of something that was created in the mind. Is that okay with everyone? No questions about that. The next question we want to ask is, whose mind are we talking about? If I'm stressed out, I'm talking about my mind, because it happened in my mind. If I claim that it's my mind, that means I am the owner of my mind. If this is my microphone, I own it. I am the owner of that microphone. If this is my shirt, I am the owner of that shirt. If I am the owner of an entity, who takes care of it? If I own my house, who cleans it out? You know, it's going to collect dirt over time, but I take the responsibility of cleaning it out. If it's my car, I use it over time, it's going to get dirty or, you know, it needs servicing or whatever, but I do take care of that. If it's my mind, that means I own that piece of that entity, which is called mind. And who should be taking care of it? It's a very logical step, right? We're all engineers and scientists, we know what logic is. So it's a logical conclusion that if it's my mind, that means I am the owner of this entity called the mind, therefore I should be taking care of it. I am responsible for it. But who takes care of it? Who takes care of it? It's the boss who takes care of my mind. It's my spouse. It's my kids. It's my environment. It's the traffic. It's the weather. It's everything that goes on around me that takes care of my mind, which is supposed to be in my control. If something is in my control and I'm supposed to take care of it, but others do take care of it, that means I am allowing them to take care of my mind. I'm letting it happen. Which means, and that's the point that Anna is bringing about, that means that I am responsible for my own stress. Because I am letting it happen. I have a choice to not let it happen. And yet, I have made a conscious choice to let my mind be stressed out.
You make it sound so easy.
Isn't that so?
No, what you say, it makes logical sense.
Isn't that so? Isn't that so easy? That's exactly the point. It's so easy, and yet we don't get it. That's why I started, you know, with logic, because we're all scientists and engineers, and we understand logic. It's very logical. If it is something that belongs to me, I am responsible for it, and therefore, I should not allow others to take control of it. I have kept all the doors open. Come and attack me. That's what I am doing. Take charge of my mind, please. Because I enjoy being stressed out. When I'm stressed out, I can blame everybody else. You caused me stress. You are responsible for my stress. You did that to me. And I like that, because that gives me some satisfaction of blaming somebody else, pointing fingers at others. But in the process, I'm stressed out. I'm getting all the disease, I'm getting hypertension, I'm getting headaches, I'm getting stomach aches. Everything is happening. Just because I want to enjoy putting my fingers at somebody else, I'm getting all the disease. How interesting is that? So why do we do that? That's the big question now. Why do we allow ourselves to be stressed out? So let me kind of take a step back here and see how things happen in life, right? So everything that happens in life, every moment, let me call that an experience. I'm just going to use the word experience. If you're sitting here and listening to me, it's an experience for you. If you're having lunch, that's giving you an experience. If you're talking to somebody, that's an experience. If you have an accident, that's an experience. Let me label everything that goes on as an experience, right? And when anything happens, it gets lodged in our memory. We know that, right? Everything gets lodged in our memory. And our mind is full of memories from time immemorial, let's say. Everything gets lodged in the memory. Along with that memory, what else gets lodged? There are a couple of other things that gets lodged, that gets embedded in that memory. One is, we put a label on that experience. Whatever that experience is, we say, pleasant, unpleasant. I liked it, I disliked it. It was good, it was bad. You always put a label, no matter what it is. When you go back, you will call this an experience, this talk, and you will label it. Good talk, bad talk, unpleasant, pleasant, whatever. But that's not it. We add another label on top of that. And that's a sort of a desire to have a repeat of a similar experience in future. Or, I hated it so much, I want to have nothing to do with it, ever, ever in my life. So we're going to put two labels. Liked it, disliked it. Pleasant, unpleasant. Secondly, do I want a repeat of that experience? Now, every time we have a new experience, every time we have anything new, we always like to compare it with whatever is lodged in the memory as a previous experience. Right? So if I am presented with a piece of sandwich, since you are eating sandwich, right? You're presented with a piece of sandwich, immediately your reaction is to go back into your memory, look for a similar experience, and then, okay, there's a match now. You get a match. Okay, this sandwich looks exactly like what I had a week ago. But that's not enough. We want to read that label. Did I like it? Yes. Did I want to have a repeat experience? Yes. Let's grab it. Have it. That's what we do. If it was something that the label says I didn't like it, we're not going to touch it. No matter what it has, no matter what it looks like, we're not going to touch it. Same thing happens, you know, you meet a person for the first time, right? First time ever. What do? We try to create a match in our memory, right? We take that picture of the person, match happens. We pick somebody who looks somewhat vaguely similar to this person that I'm meeting. What's the label there? Miserable experience. Terrible experience. What do? Instantly, we create an impression, this guy is not worth meeting. We have never met the person. He might be the nicest person on earth. Just because our label says we don't like him, or the previous person was not good enough, I'm not going to have anything to do with this person. Can anybody relate to that? We all do that, right? So, we put a label and then we act on those labels. The point I'm trying to make is, we are acting on the labels, not on reality. I'm trying to get somewhere here. We're acting on labels that we have created ourselves. The reality may be totally different. But we don't care because we have already read the label and that's what we're going to go by. We don't care what the reality is. Right? Let's say you had a meeting with your boss yesterday. Terrible experience. Boss was totally unhappy with the project that I'm working on, the progress that I made so far, and you know, we had a very unpleasant discussion, let's say. That was yesterday. Today you are sitting on your desk, the boss calls again, can you come and see me? Right? Can you come and see me? What's your experience at that point? Yesterday's meeting, you just created a match. Yesterday's meeting was very, very unpleasant, totally disruptive in my mind. I'm going to have a similar experience today. Oh my God, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Does anybody relate with that and they call it stress? I'm stressed out now just because my boss gives me a call, come to my office. I'm totally stressed out at this point. Who's creating that stress? I created it for myself right now. I just created that stress for myself because I read that label. Does everyone get that? I read the label and I created stress for myself. Oh my God, I don't know what he's going to say. I'm miserable. Maybe he's going to fire me. Maybe he's going to do this or that. Guess what? You go to the boss. He says, I'm so sorry. I treated you this way yesterday. I realized my mistake. I read your article again and I think it makes a lot of sense. Who created the stress for me? This is what we do all the time in life. We go by the labels that we have created ourselves and we create stress for ourselves. And we are, like she said, we are experts at creating stress for ourselves because we are experts at reading those labels and trying to match. Always. Always try to match those labels and then we create stress for ourselves. So the first thing we want to do is to understand that nobody else can cause stress for us. Nobody else. It may sound kind of weird, but that is a fact. Nobody else can cause stress for us. Not our kids, not our spouse, not our boss, not the weather, nothing. Because now we have just understood logically that that's how it is. I am causing my own stress. I am the manufacturer of my own stress. Why? Because, you know, I'm sure most of us know the term outsourcing, right? People have outsourced software to India, China, Russia, Brazil, wherever, right? What are we doing here? We are outsourcing the control of my mind to other people. That's what we have done, basically. We have outsourced it. Hey, you guys take over. So what we want is to take the control back. That's our objective now, to take that control back. So I'm in the driver's seat and I know exactly what I want to do. That's my objective. If I'm in the driver's seat, I can handle things much, much better now. Because if the boss calls me, I'm not going to look at the label. I'm going to take it as a very fresh and clean situation. Very fresh, totally new. I'm not going to corrupt my mind based on what happened yesterday. I'm going to go there with a fresh mind and I'm going to be ready for whatever happens today at this very moment. That's how we handle stress, not to be influenced by labels. See, like I said, there are three things in the label. One is the pure memory of the event, of the experience that we had. Second is the label that we liked it or disliked it. Third is the label that we, whether we want to have a repeat experience. What we want to do is to disengage from those artificially created labels, work only with the pure memory part of it. We need that. We need pure memory, otherwise we will not survive. Right? Otherwise I can never, if I meet you for the first time, or if I meet you the second time, I would never recognize who you are if I don't use my memory. Because memory is what we need to survive. You can't function here if there is no memory. What we don't want to do is to depend on those labels. That's all I'm saying. How do we do that? How do we do that? How to do that? Any guesses?
Create a new memory?
We are always going to create a new memory. But what I'm saying is, when we have a match, how can we disengage from the labels and work only with the pure memory? Exactly, that's what we want to get. But how do you get there? That's where yoga comes in. How do I sell yoga otherwise, right? I thought somebody would guess that I'm here to sell yoga. What we are trying to do is to cleanse the mind, purify the mind, so that the mind now is not dependent on those labels. Okay. How do we purify the mind? Well, let me, very quickly, I'm going to take you through some understanding of what the mind is, how it functions, etc. That once we understand the mind, then we probably can do something about it, right? Because we all said it's the mind that's responsible for our stress, mind. So, to understand the mind, what we are told in our textbooks on yoga, is that let's think of the mind as a composite of four functions. So, what does the mind do basically? That's what we're talking about. What does the mind do? What are the functions of the mind?
Think.
Thinking is one function it does.
Emotions.
Emotions is a part of thinking, you can say. Emotions, thinking, willing, desiring, getting input from the five senses. That's all a part of the thinking part. What else does it do? Memory. We said memory is a very big part of the mind's functions. What else? Decision making. Beautiful. So we have the thinking or the cognitive function, we have the memory function, and we have the decision making function.
And then the basic function.
So what's the fourth function? We said four functions. We are broad categories.
Emotions.
Well, somebody said emotions here, but what causes emotions? That function, I'm looking for a word which causes emotions. The word it's called the ego. E-G-O. Anybody heard of that? Anybody heard of that? Anybody have any problem with that? No? Okay. So, like I said, broad categories. Mind has four functions: cognitive function, memory, ego, and the decision-making, what is called the discriminatory function in our language. Okay. So, if you, for example, if you look at a piece of cake And you know what goes on in the mind, right? You look at a piece of cake. We engage the five senses, right? You'll smell it. Maybe you'll go near it, dip your finger, engage the sense of touch. The touch seems good, and then you'll engage the sense of taste. Dip it on your tongue, and then it's decision time, right? And what are the choices? Eat it or not eat it. That's basically very simple. And we said, you know, everything is stored in the memory, and you have to find a match. But the decision maker, who is the decision maker? We said that it's the intellect. We call it the decision maker. The name given is intellect. Okay? We call that the intellect. So the mind, you know, in computers, they call it a function call, right? You put the parameters into a function and send it to another function, right? Everyone knows that. So the mind makes a function call with all the parameters to the intellect. Hey, tell me what I should do. The intellect at this point in time, the way things are, is unfortunately a slave of the ego. It's not a pure intellect. It's not full in control. It's a slave of the ego. So it goes to the ego. Hey, look, all these parameters have been given to me. What do I do? Ego says, hold on. Dip into the memory. Pull out an instance of a similar cake which I had last week. And the label says, divine. That's what the label is. The experience was divine. Absolutely delightful. Go do the needful. Have the same kind of experience. The intellect says, oh my God, I am the decision maker. Let me do some independent investigation. Goes back to the memory again. Another match. What's that now? Says we had a visit with the doctor 3 days ago. And we were looking at our blood work. And it says your cholesterol is alarmingly high. Based on my doctor's recommendation, I visited the nutritionist yesterday, and she said, absolutely stay away from things like this cake. The intellect, alarmed, goes back to the ego. Boss, this is what I find, what do I do? What did the ego say? You're an idiot. You're so stupid. Can't you read the label? It says divine. One piece of cake. Can it do any harm to you? Nobody dies of one piece of cake. Go get it. The message is very clear. I am hoping that we get the message, right? The intellect, before going to bed, makes a decision that tomorrow I'm going to exercise in the morning. Sets the alarm 6 o'clock. Right? 6 o'clock, the alarm goes off. Ego wakes up faster than the intellect. Ego says, hit the snooze button. We'll do it tomorrow. So when we say that we want to cleanse our mind, this is what we are talking about. We want to learn how to transfer the control from the ego to the intellect. When the ego is in charge, we have all these problems. All right? But if the intellect is in charge, it knows exactly what to do, at what time, when, and how, in a most beautiful, efficient manner. No more stress. No more stress. So how do we transfer control to the intellect? Practice yoga. Practice yoga. That will help us transfer the control from ego to the intellect. When the intellect is in charge, then we are in control. And when we are in control, we can make a decision not to be stressed out. Because I'm in charge now. So now the big question is, and I only have a few minutes, how does yoga help? That's the big question. I mean, what do you do? How many of you practice yoga here? Several of you. You know, you go to a class, what do they do there? Warrior pose. Right? Triangle pose, you know. How is it going to cleanse my mind? I do it. Has it ever cleansed my mind? So what do I mean when I say practice yoga? That's the big question. Does warrior pose is going to help me? Sure it is. But it's only a part of the whole story. Because when you look at what the practice of yoga means, it has many, many other components to it. Many other components besides just the warrior poses. I'm just taking that as an example. Physical stretch. What I mean is, besides just simple physical stretching, yoga has many other components. The two other major components are breathing practices and meditation. There are many other, you know, they talk about controlling the senses, they talk about how to calm the mind, etc. So there are many things. I mean, you have to read some yoga texts and find out what I mean. But at the very basic minimum, the practice of yoga has to include the physical stretching, the breathing practices, and meditation. Otherwise, you're not practicing yoga, otherwise you're practicing stretching. That's the key differentiation between stretching and yoga. To be able to claim that I practice yoga, you have to, at the very basic minimum, practice the stretching part, the breathing part, and meditation. How many of you meditate on a regular basis here? Just a few. Good. Eventually, in the final analysis, it's going to be your meditation practice which is going to help you cleanse that mind and give it that transference of responsibility, of ownership. Meditation. So, most of you know what physical stretching is. You can go to a class and learn all about physical stretching. I'm going to spend just 5 minutes talking about meditation. Okay, what is meditation? What is meditation? Anybody? Those who meditate? What's meditation?
Calming the mind.
Calming the mind. What's meditation?
Focusing.
Focusing, calming. Okay, so, what do you focus on, right? While you are... The now, living in the moment, but to get there, you have to start learning how to focus on something, right? So, in the yoga tradition, what's mentioned is that you start focusing on a single word or a phrase. Okay, pick a word, and you start reciting that same word in your mind. It's called, in the language of yoga, it's called mantra. M-A-N-T-R-A. I don't know if anybody heard that term? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you heard that term. Okay. It's called a mantra. So when you pick a word or a short phrase and you start repeating that in your mind, hopefully at the exclusion of other thoughts, hopefully, because that doesn't happen. It will not. That's called a mantra. Now, the practice of meditation is to focus on that mantra, on that sound. Now, how do you practice meditation? What's mentioned in our text is that every word, any word that you pick, any mantra that you pick, think of it as having three attributes. Okay, three attributes. So, can somebody give me a word that you want to chant, that you want to recite? Anybody? Pick a word. Nobody has a word in mind? What's that?
Beach.
Okay. So what happens is that you're going to sit down quietly in a place where it is peaceful and uncluttered and start chanting the word beach. So I'm going to sit down here mentally. This is all mental. No sound comes here. Beach, 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 beach. I had a beautiful vacation in Hawaii last year. Beach, beach. Oh man, that beach was so full of beautiful sand on the beach, beach. But you know, I had this, that, and everything else goes on, and then beach goes away. Now, what I said was there are three attributes they say that you can focus on. One is the word itself, beach. Okay, so it creates a sound, beach, beach. Try to fill that mind with that sound only. Also, it has a shape of the word itself. You can write it in English or in my own language, for example, I can write it. But it has a shape, it has a sound. That's one attribute. What does it mean? What does it signify? Why did you pick the word beach for your meditation? That's the second part. What exactly does it signify to you? Why did I pick it? Because when I am at the beach, I'm very peaceful. I can close my eyes and listen to the waves. Things like that, okay? That's the significance part of it. The meaning or the true essential meaning. And the third attribute is the other peripheral related information. You know, whether it's the beach at Jordan Lake or whether it's the beach in Hawaii or how do you get there? I want to have to buy a ticket and things like that. Fly there, drive there, whatever. It's related information. Meditation is the ability to stay within the framework of these three attributes throughout. Okay? When other thoughts come, take note of them, but then fall back to within that, you know, perimeter of these three attributes. That will help you learn how to meditate well. And this process, if you do it for a long enough time, it will start working on your psyche, on your mind, and it will start cleansing out the mind. You need everything else. You need the physical stretching, you need the breathing. I'm just focusing on meditation today. Okay? But you need everything else. Okay, and once you do that, mind is a little more focused, more calm. And when the mind is calm, it can think more clearly. That means more ability to deal with stress. Is that okay with everyone? We're running out of time. We have three more minutes for question and answers. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Okay, my studio is located in Morrisville, right off of Aviation Parkway. Aviation Parkway and the Chapel Hill Road. So about a half mile from there. Okay, it's a studio, it's in a small office complex. And I offer multiple classes during the week. And you can go to my website, and the website address is there, my blog address is there, I think she has given all the addresses, you can go to that, and if you have any questions, please do call me. I'm going to also leave a few of my business cards here. I also offer early morning programs from time to time. So for example, the next one that I'm offering is a 14-day breathing and meditation intensive, okay? So this program runs from June 15th to the 28th, 14 days. And all I do is to focus on breathing and meditation. And it runs at 6 in the morning, 6 to 7.30 every day for 14 days. You're welcome. But you'll find all the information on my website. And I thank you all very much. I truly appreciate this opportunity. Anna, thank you very much. And if you have any questions...